Thank you for using your talents for the Lord. I really appreciate that. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and also chapter 2. This morning I preached a message and really gave a lot of my testimony. And I shared a lot of things. I said how I had, in the last few days, my family has started a Facebook page for the Mays family. And it's really been really kind of cool to reunite with a lot of family members that I hadn't seen in decades. Hadn't seen many of them since we used to go to the family reunions, the Mays family reunion. Of course, Mays being my granddaddy, Ed Mays. And it's really been kind of cool. I even found, and I'm eventually going to work it into a sermon when I share some other things, but I found a picture of my grandmother when she probably was maybe 18 months old. Isn't that cool? And Big Rose when she was Little Rose. And but a lot of family friends, and a lot of cousins, and it's just really, really neat to do that. I know maybe you've done that with your family, but it's really been a blessing to show pictures, you know, to my kids and show pictures to my family. But in sharing some of my testimony this morning, I shared a lot of traumatic event. You know, it's maybe just some traumatic things that I went through as a child, went through as a young person, wrestling with the question, does anybody care? Does anybody love me? And after I got saved, of course, I got saved when I was 16, and I really didn't realize how much unforgiveness that I had in my heart towards my mom and towards perhaps other people. And really, it began to eat at me like a cancer. And I remember it's actually been since I came here to Emmanuel. I remember sitting at home one night, and this is goodness, this has to be 8 or 10 years ago now. And I've been listening to a sermon series from my favorite preacher, Brother Johnny Hunt, and he's preaching on forgiveness. And I'm telling you, it was as if the Holy Spirit of God just arrested my soul and really arrested my heart with, here I am as a preacher of the gospel, pastoring now my second church at that time, and I've only pastored two. Emmanuel's my second church that I pastored. And man, God just began to the Holy Spirit began to really just put his finger on my heart and bring to light that I was holding on to a lot of bitterness, and I was holding on to a lot of things that had happened to me, and I wasn't forgiving a lot of people. And here I am, a preacher, preaching about being a forgiving person and preaching about the importance of setting people free. And one of the things that we do when we don't forgive people is that we do what I did when I was, you know, here I was saved, and I thought I'd forgiven, but man, I began to, somebody says, how do you know if you've truly forgiven somebody? One of the ways, I don't know who said this originally, but I think it's a powerful truth. One of the ways you really know if you've forgiven someone or not is if you can think of their name and picture them in your mind and not have bitterness and resentment about them. When you can think about them and picture them in your mind, their name comes across your heart or your mind, and you can think about them without having mean thoughts about them and angry thoughts about them. And I knew that right then and there that I had some repenting to do. Right there in my living room, I think less than the kids were asleep, I just bowed my heart and hand to God, and I said, Lord, I said, I didn't even realize it. I just want you to know that. It wasn't like I was blatantly trying to go around and not being a forgiving person. I really thought I was a forgiving person and thought I practiced forgiveness and really thought I was a person that, as my pastor used to teach us as young preachers, that when you're a pastor, you have to treat the compliments like you do the complaints, you know, the negative, hurtful things. You got to let them all roll off your back. And as I've heard said, and it's so true, if you don't do that, you'll let compliments, they can go to your head, and man, it'll puff you up, become prideful and arrogant. But if you let complaints go to your heart, it'll really discourage you. And so I always thought that I was a pretty forgiving person, but as the Holy Spirit of God really just worked through the preaching of God's Word, he began to show me that, Tracy, you've been holding on to a lot of bitterness, and it's time that you let that go. It's time that you forgive it. It's time that you choose to forgive. It's time that you willfully choose, set up Wyatt, set up, you're in church, It's time that you willfully choose to forgive. You know, forgiveness, when you think about forgiveness, you do know that forgiveness is a choice. If we choose not to forgive, we're making a choice not to forgive. Whereas if we choose to forgive, we're doing that. We're choosing to forgive the other person. Now I will say, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I think it's okay because I'm going to take a couple Sunday nights and just preach from my heart. I try to preach from my heart. I've always tried to be a preacher that, you know, I just, whatever the Lord puts on my heart, I just try to, you know, be open book. And I'm a very emotional person. But in the context of forgiveness, the Apostle Paul says a lot about forgiveness. He says a lot about forgiveness here in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we will get to those verses. I had you turn there. But I want you to hold your place because I want to set it up by reading a portion from the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, so turn, hold your place. I'm going to mark it even in my Bible. And turn to the right of 2 Corinthians and find Ephesians. Right after Galatians. We're talking about this. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. And the choice is this. Are you going to forgive? Are you going to not forgive? Life's too short to hold grudges. Life is too short to hold grudges that will eventually, and I promise you this will happen, it will turn into regrets. Life's too short to live with regrets because we chose not to forgive. To the teenagers here tonight, I know many of you, and I know all of you, but I know some of your stories. I know some of your testimonies, and I know some of your pain. I've talked to many of you kids over the years, and I know some of the things that have happened to you. It wasn't your fault. Some of the traumatic things you've gone through. But as your preacher, I've been there, and honestly, in very similar situations that some of you have. And if you don't forgive, it'll kill you. It'll absolutely destroy your life. It will eat you like a cancer. Not only in my own life before I chose to forgive, but also in people that I've pastored and people that I've met. If you choose not to forgive, it will take the smile from your face. It'll take the joy from your heart. It will absolutely rob you of the blessing of serving Christ. Oh, you're still God's child if you're born again. But, buddy, the devil knows exactly what to do, and he knows how to discourage you. He knows how to get you feeling, you know, defeated and get you feeling, you know, angry and bitter and mad at the world. You know, people that aren't forgiving type of people, they often, now you say, Pastor, why does it happen? How does it happen? Well, it happens because there's an injury somewhere. You know, there's an injury somewhere. And in my life, you know, the abandonment issues that I'd had as a child that went into my teenage years, that came into my, you know, my 20s and my 30s and my unforgiving spirit that I had, it was all because of an injury, you know, of that. And when that happens, what we sometimes tend to do, and as I did, I began to, in my mind and in my heart, I began to lock my mom and others. There's other people that had injured me, but I began to lock my mom up in my mind and in my heart. You know, if you think of me for a moment of, you know, a terrorist, and when they hijack an airplane, or they hijack some type of transportation, what do? They're wanting something, and they're not going to let you go. They're not going to release the prisoners, right? They're not going to release the passengers unless you give them what they want. But, you know, unforgiveness is that. When we choose not to forgive, what we do is we hold people hostage, you know, and there's been an injury. And listen, in my case, it wasn't my fault. I didn't cause that, you know, and I didn't know what, and God is my witness. I've never, ever, ever want to portray my mom as in a mean-spirited way. I'm not. I'm just sharing my story. And but having said that, with all of that unforgiveness, man, it absolutely affected my life. It affected my relationship with my wife. It affected my relationship with my children. It affected my relationship even as a pastor. I put walls up, and I would dare people to get close to me. I put walls up, and we do that. When you have unforgiveness in your heart, that turns to bitterness, that Hebrews talks about, that root of bitterness that springs up. It can happen very fast. It doesn't have to happen over a long period of time. It can happen very fast, and you can get that root of bitterness. And you know what the Bible says about that? You know, it poisons other things. It poisons relationships. It poisons friendships. It poisons as far as your service for the Lord Jesus Christ when you have unforgiveness in your heart. And so again, I'm just going to share my testimony. I'm going to share my heart over these next couple of weeks, and I pray that God will perhaps use a hard lesson that I had to learn, that maybe God will use it and help you as he helped me. So in Ephesians chapter 4, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Thanks for coming tonight. Those of you that have fans, if you'll wave them this way a little bit, I'd really appreciate that. When the big Rev takes his jacket off, you know there's something. Because I don't like taking my jacket off because my shirt might be wrinkled. And I'm a little OCD about that kind of stuff. But anyway, Ephesians 4. The context, church family, is Paul is writing to a local assembly. You do know that in the first century, local assemblies like the church at Corinth, as we'll read in a minute, the church at Ephesus, this is the letter written to the church at Ephesus. You do know that those churches were made up of saved sinners. You know that, right? I'm not trying to assault your intelligence, but I'm trying to really bring us into something to really grab hold of and understand. At best, we are all that are born again, at best, all we are is sinners saved by God's grace. That's it. At best, that's all we are. And when you have a church or you have, you know, a bunch of saved sinners, you know, whether it be in an assembly, whether it be in a family, whether it be in a job, a business, you know, there's often times where, you know, some of those relationships can be strained. Some of those relationships can, you know, can really suffer and can take its toll if we're not careful. So that's why I really truly believe that's why God gives us things and really calls for us. You know, if we've wronged somebody, God, hey, repent of that. You know, go to that person, ask for your forgiveness. And then God calls us to forgive. You say, yeah, but pastor, if I forgive, and here's a myth. Those often, and I want to set this up because we're going somewhere with it. There are those that say, well, pastor, if I choose to forgive somebody, then I am excusing their behavior. No. That's not what you're doing. You choosing to forgive is not saying what you did to me is okay. You choosing to forgive is then allowing you to not be haunted and not be hindered by that unforgiveness. And you're, if you will, you're no longer, you're taking the keys out. I don't have my keys on me. But you're taking the keys out and you're unlocking the door. When you choose to forgive someone, you're taking the keys out, kind of a picture of this in your mind, unlocking the door and letting the person that you put in there be set free, only to realize it was you inside those prison doors, right? It was you that was locked up. It was you that had lost your joy. It was you that had lost your smile on your face. It was you that no longer cared about spiritual things. No longer. You come to church and perhaps you were just going through the motions. You'd hear preaching and you just honestly been there. You hear preaching and you just kind of fiddle with your phone and you just kind of fiddle through the, you know, the song book. Man, when I was out of fellowship with God because of bitterness, I'd take the hymn book and I'd go through every song when I would be at First Baptist Alexandria even. Just trying to, as a distraction, knowing that my life wasn't right with God. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 32, the Apostle Paul writes, and he's writing to a local church. I took a lot of time to set it up, and the rest of it won't be very long because it's going to take us a little bit to lay a foundation. Verse 30 of Ephesians 4, Paul says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I told you this morning, I taught you this morning that the Holy Spirit of God, he's not an it, he's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. And the Bible says, Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Right next to that verse, eternal security, because right there it is. You want to see eternal security in Scripture? It's right there in verse 30. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Big Rose, when she used to do her pot, when she used to, oh man, let me read it now. Oh my goodness. Oh Lord, please forgive. Big Rose, please forgive me if you can hear it. But anyway, look at this. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. You know, you would think for a minute he's talking to people that don't know Jesus. You would think for a minute he's talking to lost people, but he's not. He's talking to men, he's talking to born-again people. He's talking to members of this local church. And he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Look at verse 32. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And this last sentence, or this last phrase of this verse, really, honestly, every time I read it, it brings me back to July 6th of 1988, when God forgave me my sins, saved me, assured me of a home in heaven, assured me that he now was my heavenly Father. And Paul says to these church members of Ephesus, he said, hey, let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and malice and evil speaking be put away from you. Why, Paul? Paul's going to remind them, and he's going to remind us. He says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let it all be put away. Your bitterness, your anger, your wrath, your malice, your evil speaking. Put it away. Why? Go back in your mind. Go back in your heart. And try to remember the day when the Lord saved you. And sweet friend, it was on that day. I'm still amazed by it. It was on that day that God forgave you in Christ of everything you've ever done, but also every sin you could ever commit, God forgave you in Christ. For me, it was July 6th of 1988. What is your date that God's forgiven you? Put away bitterness, put away wrath, put away malice, put away evil speaking. Why? Because God's forgiven you, and I know in my life, he's forgiven me of some of those same sins. Let's pray. Father, we love you. But I know my own life. I don't love you like I should. And tonight, God, I pray that you'll help me. You know my heart, you know my mind. You know everything there is to know about me. And yet you still love me. God, that overwhelms me. I fail you so many times. But God, I thank you that your love for me is not based on my performance. It's because of what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago. I pray, God, that you'll use these couple of weeks and perhaps even 3 weeks to help my people, but also to help me. And God, may we all understand that we say it so often it's become cliche, but God, may it never lose its impact, and that we are simply sinners saved by the grace of God. We're your children. You're a wonderful Heavenly Father. And as Pat sings all the time, I love to hear him sing it. You're a good, good Father. Meet with us mightily, Father, I pray. I pray that tonight would not be just a normal service, but Father, that it would be a service where you arrest our hearts. That it would be a serious time where we lay aside, intentionally choose to lay aside any distraction. There wouldn't be goofing off. There wouldn't be wrestling and talking to each other and whispering during the service. But God, truly, that you will arrest our souls this evening. And God, that you'll teach us something. That you'll help us to learn more about you. Because God, you forgave us of everything we could ever do. Every wrong, every sin that we could ever, ever do in our life. You forgave us in Christ for those of us that are born again. So meet with us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now back to Rose and her pot. Oh, what I meant to say was When my grandmother, when the Bible says you're sealed until the day of redemption, my grandmother used to do a lot of canning. My wife does a lot of canning. Miss Kelly Clegio, they do a lot of canning in the summertime. And they, when they will, you know, they put the vegetable or whatever they're making in, they put it in that pot, that pressure cooker thing. You can tell I know a lot about it, right? They put it in there, and they heat it up, and it pops in. And what is it doing? It's sealing. My preacher used to say this. He said it's sealing the good things in, but it's also sealing the bad things from getting in, right? It's sealing the good things in, and it's keeping the bad things out. And if you think of me for a moment, with the Holy Spirit of God, when God saved us, and this is another sermon, but I want to say, because it's right in this text, I want to hit it because it's there. When God saves you, and I absolutely, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, believe in eternal security, because it's absolutely proven in Scripture that when God saves you, you do know, and not insulting your intelligence, but when God saves an individual, the Holy Spirit of God right then and there comes in and takes up residence. Can I get a witness in this room? He comes in, he takes up residence in your life, and you become a child of God because now God's forgiven you of all your sins, and the Holy Spirit of God has taken a residence. One of the writers in the New Testament said, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. So when you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to stay there. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to, you know, he's a parakletos. He's in the Greek. He's not going to, you know, one like Christ. He's a, you know, like just like Christ because he's God. He's just a third part of the Godhead. He comes in, he takes up residence. He seals us, right? What else does he do? I talked a little bit about it this morning. He teaches us. If you learn anything from Scripture, get this. If you learn anything about the Bible, you know who teaches you? You say, well, you do, preacher. My Sunday school teachers do. No, God uses us perhaps as an instrument, but ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit of God. And the reason it's the Holy Spirit of God, how do we know that? Because the Holy Spirit of God, for any of us to learn anything about the Bible, the Holy Spirit has to illuminate it. He has to make it alive and real to us, and we learn it. The Holy Spirit of God teaches us it. And many times people say, and they don't even realize it, sometimes people say, well, I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. Well, you have to be careful when you say that. And the reason I'm speaking of that is because, you know, if you're reading the Bible and you constantly read the Bible and you're not getting anything out of it, number one, you could be reading and just not reading and digging in enough. You're truly saved. But number two, there's a possibility you're not born again. And I said it not to insult you, and I said it not to scare you. But when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God, he illuminates it, and he shows you read it. My preacher used to say, you read it until you get something out of it. Don't just read it, flippantly read through it. Just read it until you get something out of it. But now, let's dig into this for just a minute. The choice is yours. Forgiveness or unforgiveness? Are we going to choose to forgive people? Are we going to choose to live by a practice of forgiveness? Now, let me say this. This is a tremendous quote. I don't know who the original person that wrote it, who said this quote. I wrote it down. I've got it somewhere. Listen to this. What you don't forgive, you pass on. What you don't forgive, and I would add often, what you don't forgive, you often pass on. We have people that are watching this. We have kids that are watching this. We have other, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, perhaps, that look up to us, and they see how we teach. They see how we act and we respond. You've also heard, and this is true. I've noticed this, and I've seen it. I've absolutely seen it in 22 years as a pastor. That hurt people hurt people. Why do hurt people hurt people? Because they're hurt. And they often want to lash out, and it's, you know, and you just happen to be in their crosshairs at the time. What do you do with the offense? Is what you do with the offense, remember I said at the beginning of this? This is all introduction. It's going to take several weeks to get through this. You said, preacher, you preached a lot of this in the past. Yeah, because I often find in my life, when it comes to being a person that tries to practice forgiveness, I have to constantly be reminded of it. I do. That's just the way I am. I have to constantly be reminded through God's word the value and the importance of living a life that is a life that shows that I forgive, but also, and here's, I think, the essence of what Paul is getting into here. I pray that as I live my life, I pray that my life looks like someone and acts like someone and responds like someone who has been forgiven. You see, because if you have Christ as your Savior, on the authority of God's Word, not the authority of the preacher, if you have Christ as your Savior, you're a new creature. You're not what you used to be, right? You're no longer that lost, dying sinner on your way to hell. You've been forgiven of all your sins, and because of that, man, we better. If there's anybody in the world who should live in an atmosphere and live in an attitude of forgiveness, it's God's people. What you do with the offense is very important and will determine your mental health in years to come. Many perhaps have seen the pain of betrayal or experienced the pain of bad choices or the pain of broken promises or the pain of broken confidence. And those happen, and they do happen. One thing that we know as human beings, we're not perfect. Yeah, we have a perfect standing in the eyes of God the Father. But we also know that we're still living here on earth. You see, positionally, here's a way to understand this. Positionally, right now, before God the Father, you and I that are born again, watching men that are born again, we have a position before God the Father as holy, blameless, right? We know that. Colossians chapter 1. But practically, while we're here on earth, we don't look like that sometimes, right? We don't look like we're perfect. We don't look like we're holy. I know on my own personal testimony, I know when I look in the mirror, buddy, I promise you, I don't look that way. I'm amazed. I'm telling you, under God, I'm amazed that God uses me. That is not a false humility. That's an honest, truthful statement from my heart. I'm amazed that God uses me. He's an amazing God. Because God, you say, preacher, it ought not surprise you because in the Old Testament, God used a donkey to give him glory. Yeah, you're right. So God can use me, right? Is that what you're saying? No, I'm amazed that God uses me. But he's an amazing God. And he loves to use broken vessels. He does. Paul Meyer said, forgiveness doesn't just happen. It is an act of the will. Absolutely, that's true. So again, look what Paul says. He says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He says, be kind one to another. Verse 32. Look at that again. Tenderhearted. You see, I can say of my own life, whenever I was really struggling with, you know, forgiving, you know, my mom and all that. And I didn't really know. I didn't really think I was unforgiving. But boy, I'm telling you, here's what I've learned in my life. When God says something about you, it's good to accept his analysis. When the Holy Spirit of God points out something in your life through the preaching of his word, and that's what God does, when God does that, it's good to acknowledge that his assessment is correct. That's why John said, if we confess, right, we confess our sins, right? Confess means to say the same thing about your sin that God says about your sin. If we confess it, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, that's written to the believer, not the lost person. That's written to a believer as far as in our fellowship with God. John says we have fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship, 1 John 1. We have fellowship with one another because of Christ. And because of that, our fellowship with God can be interrupted if our sins aren't, if we not live in an atmosphere or live in an attitude of constant repentance and constant forgiveness and forgiving one another. And forgiveness doesn't just happen. It is an act of the will. Another statement. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge your future. Forgiveness doesn't change the past. The injury happened, it happened. But I promise you this. Forgiveness, it may not change the past, but it will enlarge the future. I remember that night, man, when I right there, I remember it like it was yesterday, and it's been several years ago. I remember there in my living room, and man, God just really worked me over. And that's I mean that in a good way. You see, because I know perhaps you're like me, that when I'm listening to preaching and when I'm, you know, in a conference or when I'm, you know, sitting in a men's conference or I'm sitting at a revival, whatever it is, and we have revival coming up in the fall, and do be praying. Really sincerely, fervently pray that God will give us a revival, perhaps unlike anything we've ever experienced. I really think God's going to do that. But I know, you know, when I'm sitting under preaching, and maybe sometimes preaching gets a little hot, and it's almost as if, and I say this a lot, it's almost as if, you know, the preacher's been following you around town, or he knows what's going on in your own life. And, you know, it's in times like that, don't get mad. Please, don't get mad at the pastor, the preacher, Thank God that the Holy Spirit of God knows exactly how to get your attention. He knows exactly how to get my attention. He does it with the Word of God. And what God does when He reveals sin in our life as a believer, confess it. God, you're right. And I remember sitting in my Word years ago. And if anybody calls, unless they can say I'm in the Word, that means I'm sleeping, just so you know my little trick here. But I remember sitting in my chair, and man, God just got all over me. And I remember bowing my heart and head to God, and I said, God, you're right. I've been holding on to this. I've been holding on to bitterness against my mom. And I said, God, will you please forgive me of that? He said, Brother Tracy, that makes no sense. I mean, you are the one that went through all that situation that you talked about this morning. You're the one that went through all that. You had nothing to do with that. You're right. I didn't have anything to do with the injury. But I could do something about holding on to that. You see, one of the things I've tried to do over the years since then is I've tried, honestly, with empathy, and I taught Wyatt a little bit about empathy this morning or the day of what empathy is. And empathy, I love that word, because what empathy is attempting to see the world through the other person's eyes. That's empathy. If you look at the life of the Lord Jesus, He was a very empathetic Savior. When He looked at the multitude, remember, and I think it's in John, when He looked at the multitude one time, the Bible says He was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Defenseless, directionless, fearful, no doubt. Destined for destruction unless a shepherd helped them. Jesus could empathize with them. He saw them through their eyes, if you will. And God began to really work on my heart and show me, hey, and I try now to look through with empathy. I mean this. I try to look with empathy, not just with my mom, but also other people. And I try to see the world from their perspective, from their eyes. And when you do that, often what it does, it explains behavior. It often explains behavior. You know, sometimes people lash out and we think, man, how in the world could they do that? Well, let's just dig in a little bit and let's try to empathize what's going on in their life right now. Oh, I remember what's going on in their life. They lost a loved one a month ago. They had a very traumatic event hit their family. They had recently a diagnosis that has rocked their world. Let's walk in this for a second. Don't look at my wrinkled shirt. But because, don't, please, you're not looking at my wrinkled shirt, right? But Toby is. It's not wrinkled because I've sweated so much and pulled the wrinkles right out of it, man. But we try to look at their world through empathy. And Paul, now let's flesh it out for a minute. Let's walk in the text, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to walk in this text for a minute, and I'm going to be done. I promise you this. Paul has just said, bitterness, wrath, malice, evil speaking, put it away. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. When somebody that you know the story, oh, wow, they just had a loved one die, or oh, wow, they just had a cancer diagnosis. And there was a, and maybe they've lashed out at you in anger. Empathize, right? Be kind. Tenderhearted. Here's what you do when you're able to empathize and you're able to look at their world. Oh, man, they had a cancer diagnosis. Oh, they lost a family member. Not being silly. Oh, they lost a pet, especially young people. When they lose a pet, I mean, it can be traumatic, right? So something we care about. I'll just be honest. The way I was raised, growing up in the South, it was amazing. One dog would go down, another one would pop up. It was amazing. But as I became a dad, I'm a dad now, and my kids, I remember when our little beagle got killed out here on 11 Mile Road. Terry, I don't mean to bring that up again, but when our little beagle got killed, man, I can't, and this is where, I'm telling you, this is where God really kind of changed my heart on this when it comes to pets, when it comes to kids. And our little beagle got killed, man, I was like, I was on the phone with Terry, and my wife's crying in the background, kids are upset. I'm up at one of the sports stores up with Brother Tommy and Rob. And I remember on the phone, and Terry says to me, she said, Pastor, yeah, the dog's been hit. It's there on 11. And I quote, they have dispatched, like an ambulance thing from animal from the animal hospital to come. I said, no, don't let them take that dog. I said, don't let them take that dog. That's going to cost me a fortune. Long story short, when I got home and I saw my kids. My kids were a lot younger back then. And I'm hesitant to use the word shrine because you don't want you to think I'm Catholic, but they had made this little thing. They had the little leash of it, and they had the collar of it, and, you know, the little blanket I think it had. And I thought to myself, man, you see, as an adult, you think, man, what's the big deal? Well, another one will pop up, I'm sure, right? But when you look through the eyes of a child, man, they love that dog. They love that animal. And you say, Pastor, why are you telling us that? Here's what I'm telling you. If somebody maybe does something or says something, and maybe it, you say, man, that's so out of character. It could be they've just gotten a diagnosis of cancer in their family. They've just lost a loved one. Not to be redundant or repetitive, just bear with me on this. So Paul says, it's in time like that that we can put our Christianity to practice. Paul says, be kind one to another. So at that one, when my kids lost their dog, I didn't come back like the redneck that I was raised. I came back as a dad, and I thought, oh, wait a minute, I got to calm down here. This is a serious moment. This is a time. This is a loss, and knowing a little psychology, it absolutely is a traumatic event. It's a loss, and we got to walk through this now. He said, preacher, said, no. Traumatic event. The grieving process. It may be the reaction, somebody done something to you, that reaction is just is unusual. That gives us an opportunity. I think Paul is stressing this. That gives us an opportunity to practice our Christianity and practice what we preach and have an opportunity to interject kindness. It has an opportunity for us to be tenderhearted, and it has an opportunity for us to be forgiving. So, Pastor, what happens if somebody hurt you years and years ago? Maybe it's in your childhood. You know, we do know that childhood trauma is a big deal. They've tracked this. They've proven this. The research is there that a lot of children that are now being diagnosed with ADD, it's really not ADD. Now, some is. Don't get me wrong. Some is. Some of the diagnosis is ADD, but a lot of the ADD that they're seeing is really not ADD as much as it is trauma, and it's fleshing itself out and that kind of behavior. Behavior says a lot. We respond, we react, often because of something going on in our life. It's in times like that, not excusing the behavior, but it's in times like that that we have an opportunity to love on someone and interject tenderness, interject kindness, interject forgiveness. Maybe that's what we need to do. Let's all stand for the invitation. Brother Gary's going to come and lead us. Here's the invitation. If you're here tonight without Jesus, sweet friend, I ask you to repent and call upon God to be your Savior. Will you do that? Say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'm just not doing what I need to do. And to be honest, if I go back in my heart, 20 years ago, I got hurt. And man, I've held on to that, and I've held on to, and it's caused bitterness. It's caused broken relationships. It's caused problems in my marriage because I put up a wall, and I don't allow my spouse to get close because I'm worried about getting hurt. I kind of, you know, I'm a standoffish with a lot of people. Don't live like that. Forgive. Choose to forgive and allow God to heal that because he can. I promise you he can. Maybe that's what the Lord needs to do in your heart. Maybe that's what God is doing in your heart. You come as we sing. Brother Gary, what's your number?
528-528 without him.
You come. Maybe you didn't come to the altar to pray. Whatever you need to do, you come right now.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus. Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
Amen. One more, sir. One.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. Like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost
I would be. I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Turn him away, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Well, amen. Thank you so much tonight for coming. I really mean that. Appreciate you being here tonight. Good to see Mary Lou and Tammy with us tonight, and always a blessing to have them when they come. A couple come tonight, and just the Lord's touched their heart with a sermon, and we thank God for that, and has worked in their life mightily, and we're grateful for that. Callie says, "Preacher, I just want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I've held a lot of grudges," and she said, "I always want to not do that anymore and rededicate my life," and we're thankful for that, and we mean that. I rejoice with Callie about that. Miss Rosie has a situation. Just thankful that God has worked in and really shown his grace, and we rejoice in that situation as well. In closing, right after service, teenager, head over to the Annex, the Fellowship Hall, and Miss Bonnie and Brother Bill are hosting the Afterglow, and Miss Jen will be over there with you. Pray for Joe as he's home sick, and remember him in prayer. And a lot of our members are out with the flu bugs and things, so do other situations. So just come on, springtime. Amen. Man, hopefully we'll get through all that, and I know we will. But again, thank you, church. Thank you for writing letters to JJ. I know it's going to thrill him to death when we send those in the mail and to his family, and they'll be reading them to him. And that's a blessing, amen. It's good to see JJ's video tonight. Any other word or announcement? All right, as we're dismissed in prayer, Cody Jankowski dismisses us in prayer, bud.